We're pleased now to be joined by Andrew Feinstein. The website is denverstiffs.com, and Andrew's been a fairly frequent, if not regular, guest over the past couple of years. And I thought, who better to react to what we saw just about 24 hours ago play out at Pepsi Center? Andrew, good evening. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hi, Sandy. It's good to talk to you. I wish it was under more positive circumstances, but nevertheless, it's always good to hear your
voice. Well, I think I would agree with you, but I think we got an insight last night when we saw the players gathered as they were at the press conference. And I talked, as you may have heard before we brought you on, about how your own relationship with George Karl has changed over the years. Suffice to say that the same transformation has been seen within the player ranks as well. Kenyon Martin, J.R. Smith, certainly Carmelo Anthony, any number of Nugget players who have had in the past tense relations with the coach, and that might be putting it mildly, now in many ways are certainly closer as colleagues, if not as personal friends. And I thought the turnout and their reaction was interesting last night. And it's a measure of George Karl's impact that he has converted critics like you, and that he has brought some players with whom he did not always get along, including perhaps most recently J.R. Smith, around to his side of things. And the evidence was there last night. You were at the press conference. You didn't have to be there. All the players, save for those receiving treatment for injuries, were there at the press conference when they didn't necessarily have to be there. That's a hell of a commentary on Karl, isn't it?
No question. And you know, I was sitting about 10 feet away from the players, and you could just feel the emotion and the love in that room that they have for their head coach. Carmelo Anthony, Chauncey Billups, and Kenyon Martin specifically, who I call the Nuggets trifecta leadership, were visibly moved by the situation, especially Kmart, I thought. And, you know, Melo walks in with huge bags of ice on both elbows and both knees, and he stood the whole time and was very attentive and very emotional. And it was a tough situation, but as I wrote in my Cavaliers-Nuggets game preview that'll go up on the site tonight around midnight, you know, maybe there is a silver lining here, if you can deduce one, and that would be that this team will rally around their coach, and maybe that'll give them a little extra morsel of energy that you and I both know they need to accomplish what they want to accomplish this year.
Your relationship with him, and I always think it's the most powerful thing when we see in relationships a change involving two people who would have been fairly described as combatants, if not enemies. I mean, it is sports that we're talking about. But that relationship changes, and you have spent some time with George. We've had you on to talk about that time you spent with him a few months back, and some emotional aspects to your conversation with him about his job just a few short months ago before the recurrence of the cancer, which seems more serious now. But your own relationship has changed with him, and that's also, I think, an indication of what a powerful personality George Karl is, that he's capable of winning people over, including you and some players that he's coached over the years with whom he now enjoys good relations, as player and coach maybe not always so warm. He's had a facility for this, in other words.
No question about it. And I think a lot of your listeners, and I don't want to get it too into the history of the site and bore everybody, but, you know, I had decided long before I ever personally met George that the mantra and the voice of the site was going to change. And much of that was at your insistence, Sandy. You know, you basically advised me that no one's going to ever take me seriously unless I can, you know, criticize all and everyone and not just one person. And I think that George and I, you know, from day one of the original site, I never had any personal animosity towards George whatsoever. In fact, it was quite the opposite. I've always had a great deal of affection and admiration and respect for George. And I think that when the original site launched, I felt like we weren't getting the best of George, almost like you're not getting the best of a friend,
yeah.
if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And I can't put words in George's mouth, but I feel like in many ways we're kind of kindred spirits, and we want the same thing at the end of the day, and our passions lie in the same place. So when we finally did get to meet, I wouldn't call us friends necessarily because we haven't gotten to know each other that well yet, but we're certainly friendly, and we share a lot of the same philosophy. And so now that I have gotten to know him, I see where he's coming from. And as you pointed out, he's done the same thing with Kenyon Martin and J.R. Smith and even Carmelo Anthony, and we saw that all last night.
And again, it's you were there, and I'd like to get your sense of the situation. It seemed from this vantage point, I think we had trouble, at least I did, in talking about this last night, because understanding it was his choice to come forward at this point with all of this, you're talking about something intensely personal that is being revealed publicly. He's emotional. The audience there is emotional. Players, the reporters, other members of the Nugget organization who are on hand. And the mixture of those emotions must have been very powerful, because you're looking at someone who is, been through this before. Yes, his son has gone through this before. He knows a great deal about it. He has been an enormously effective advocate for this cause. But you're seeing him almost stripped bare in an intensely personal moment in a public situation, and it had to be tough to watch. You admire him for coming forward this way, but on some level, wasn't it tough to watch?
Oh, it was. That's an understatement, Sandy. But I think that, this, and I'm not trying to be flippant about it, but this is the price you pay as a public figure.
Yeah.
As a head coach of an NBA team, or even if this was happening to the president of the United States, you can't just magically disappear for a few weeks without explaining what's going on. We can all ask the governor of South Carolina about that. So, when you're in the public limelight, unfortunately, you do have to come forth when you're not going to be around for a while. And I don't think Carl had a lot of choice. I think the way he handled it in true George Carl fashion was with integrity and class.
Yeah.
And, George, the reason all of us in the media love George so much is because he does, show his emotion full bear right in front of us. But he had to say something because, as he said last night, he's not going to be coaching in Golden State. He's not going to be coaching in Minnesota. He is going to be missing some practices. And, at some point, I think he just had to tell us what's going on.
To change the subject to something far less important, but you already spoke to the impact, and I talked about it before we brought you on, that this team has been, even this year, at times exasperating to watch, impossible to predict, in a sport that I think more than any of the other major sports tends to be fairly predictable. I mean, going into the season that the Lakers are going to be good and the Cavaliers are going to be good, and we should be able to say more or less the same thing about the Nuggets, but their performances do fluctuate. They definitely have their ups and downs. We've talked, certainly before this story broke last night, a great deal in recent days and weeks about the trade deadline, what the Nuggets should do in advance of that, what they shouldn't do prior to the deadline. Even once the deadline passes, is there any addition, Drew Gooden, for example, that it would make any sense to make? I know at your site you spend a lot of time talking yourself about this. You have some terrific fans who post and have thoughts and really put a little time and thought, quite a lot of time and thought in some cases, into assessing these deals and to see if the salaries match up and they're possible. Your sense at this point about what the Nuggets are going to do in the next 18 hours, if anything. You have any ideas on that?
Well, I think the short answer is I don't think they're going to do anything.
Yeah.
The long answer is I know pretty well that if a deal, they're not going to make a deal just to make a deal. And I know that, a lot of people said, well, Stan's not going to spend any more money. That's not true. If there's a deal on the table that can improve the team, which will inherently end up costing them more money, I know they will pull the trigger on that deal. The problem is the Nuggets are so cash-strapped in terms of the cap situation, and there's not a lot of good value out there. So, you know, I just can't imagine, you know, I know the word Tyrus Thomas has been mentioned,
yeah.
Ben Wallace has been mentioned. I think having an extra big man for insurance, we'd all welcome it, but I wouldn't count on it.
Is there anybody out there, including those you mentioned, maybe a Gooden under a slightly different scenario, that you would say, okay, that might make some sense for at least 12 minutes a game? And I think of any of these guys in the context of that, not necessarily they're playing for as many minutes as they've been averaging this year or in years previous to this one, but somebody who could come in and maybe push a Birdman, let's say, who seems to have turned his game around to some extent in recent days, but bring in somebody, obviously at a reasonable cost, who could perhaps give you some protection against injury and might even encourage Anderson, if not J.R. Smith, to play in the manner that they have been playing more often recently for the balance of the season. Might push him a little bit.
Well, Tyrus Thomas won't do that, but Ben Wallace would.
And, yes, Ben Wallace
that would be
yeah.
the type of guy you'd want to have in your foxhole, wouldn't it? Can you imagine going head-to-head with the Lakers and you've got a front line of Nene, Kenyon Martin, Ben Wallace, and Chris Anderson?
Yeah.
Now, those are the type of guys you can go to battle
right.
with. Going up against Ron Artest and Andrew Bynum and Pau Gasol and shove those guys around. And you look at the Spurs. I was at the Spurs game the other night, and I was fortunate to sit a little closer than I normally get to. And I got to watch DeJuan Blair mixing up inside. And we're going to need some guys who can bang with those guys. And I know Ben Wallace is over the hill, but to see him partner up with Chauncey again, given his veteran playoff experience, that could be an interesting fit.
Yeah, so of all those guys, you would like Wallace.
For those reasons. I'm trying to live in reality, you know?
Yeah.
I guess if I had to choose between Gooden and Wallace, I'd probably go with Gooden.
I would too.
And he can stretch the floor. Yeah. I just don't know how realistic it's going to be, because I think I just heard tonight that he might be involved in this Antoine Jameson trade.
Yeah, but it
may not be available.
Right, but it's a three-way deal, and the team acquiring it could buy him out. You know, maybe they don't want him. And he could come available. And there's, as I understand it, there's the 30-day rule that applies to Dallas, bring them back in. They've got to wait, but anybody else could jump right in and take him. I don't know how realistic that is. I'm not operating on any inside information in that regard. But those two would be the guys that, I guess I'd lean on. And I mean, my initial reaction to Wallace is the same as yours. You know, he's over the hill, but he can still bang people. And if you wanted to bring in somebody in that kind of limited role, you'd never have to worry about foul trouble with him. You know, because
he
wouldn't be playing enough minutes.
And also, when you're on a winning team, it just changes so much. You know, and the energy and the vibe of that team is all about going for a championship. Even the oldest guys out there seem to be able to find that extra gear. You know, if you look historically, like look at what P.J. Brown did for the Celtics a few seasons ago. So you can find that extra gear, and I think that would be a great situation for him here in Denver, if it could materialize.
We'll let you run on this, but right before we brought you on, I mentioned a conversation Alfred Williams and I had during the break right before our program began, and Alfred looked at me and he said, I hope the players appreciate the fact that over the last 6 weeks, this coach has conducted himself magnificently. I mean, to say it's been professional is to understate the case. In knowing himself about this, but not burdening the players with the news, not being a distraction. I mean, that's such a tired word, but I can't think of a better one in this case, to protect the players in a sense from this. And he said, I hope the players fully appreciate what he's done over the last 6 weeks and themselves over the next 6 weeks can extend or return the favor by behaving themselves in a manner that would make him proud and would at least eliminate that concern from his mind. Gee, is the release of this news going to negatively impact my team?
You know, that's a great point. I wish I had thought of it, but it would give Alfred credit that it came from a pro, like Alfred, right?
Yes.
And one thing I do want to say before I run, if any of your listeners are interested in, you know, what can I do, how can I help, I have not talked to George about this, but I know that George's cause is Hoops for St. Jude.
Right.
St. Jude is a children's pediatric cancer research hospital and center. We made a donation today on behalf of Denver Stiffs, and I've put a little box on the site where readers can just click on it and donate. And you can actually select George Carl's name and donate it in his name. So I would encourage all of your readers to visit the website. I don't have the URL handy, but it's Hoops for St. Jude. Just Google it and give them a few extra shekels because it's a great cause.
Well said, and we thank you for your time, Andrew, tonight, as always, and we'll talk about playoff prospects and other things, how the Nuggets match up on another occasion, but your perspective tonight is much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you, Andrew Feinstein. The website is denverstiffs.com, and it has become, if you're a follower of the Nuggets, essential reading because it brings together the various elements of Nugget Nation on a regular basis, and they've gone to a level that attracts the most thoughtful, intelligent, and passionate of fans all at once. Andrew's done a terrific job in the evolution of the site, and it is the best of what the so-called blogosphere has to offer. They have all of the good traits and very few, if any, of the negative ones. And reaction on all kinds of levels to this story has been remarkable.